the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary forever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Yashchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Yashchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the Holy Order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dudukha, the noble truth of suffering. Dudukha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dudukha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dudukha Nirodha, Dhammini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramitaya Vridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Sutama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in the bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself in the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow to sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dityampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening, or even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
reaching up with the back of the crown of the head. The head tilts forward slightly so that you're looking to the wall at about a 45 degree angle. Shoulders are relaxed. Belly is relaxed. The chest expands. Pelvis tilts forward, so there is a slight curve in the low back. Mouth is closed, breathing through the nose. And the eyes are open and slightly out of focus, as if you're looking to a point through the wall on the other side of the mouth. Hands are in the cosmic mudra. Right hand on the bottom, left hand on top. Thumbs forming an oval and just lightly touching the tips. We sit, we count the breaths. So breathe in, breathe out, and count one. Breathe in, breathe out, and count two. Breathe in, and breathe out, and count three. And so on to 10. And then begin again at 20. your mind should wander, which it will, very gently bring it back to the breath and begin counting again at home.
suffering. If an enemy's suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If an enemy's suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
So if you would like to have a backjack this morning for group, now would be a good time to get one. Shall we look at this morning?
Looking at
You're going to have to project in the room.
Okay. Looking at consequences of my actions, our actions.
You get consequences of your actions.
Right. Yesterday I had quite an interesting trip here, and ended up, I had a connecting flight and had plenty of time to go through. I had to go through, customs and security again, but in a very kind of, I stopped and got a coffee. There was a Tim Hortons there, and all Canadians love Tim Hortons, so.
There was a what there?
A Tim Hortons. It's a coffee place.
I see.
For.
Gotcha.
But there was this extremely long line and waiting. So here I am in this line waiting and going, oh, no problem. And I get to the gate and I'm going, we just closed the flight. We just closed that, so, I mean, within a minute or two, and so I was...
That's a moment, isn't it?
That was really like, okay, panic, and luckily, the monastery was kind enough to help me find and somebody, but all the what it mobilized here in having to... try and contact me. I don't have a cell phone. Trying to arrange a ride for me.
These are the consequences.
All the consequences that arose, that that came from that, that very innocent, you know, action of going and get a coffee. So
completely innocent and unconscious, would you say?
Yeah.
So
I know.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's not a bad thing. It's just good to acknowledge. You know, there's a, tell me if I'm right, there's a process that was going on. We might even say the condition was sort of setting you up.
Oh, so much. Yeah, very much.
Especially, you know, you're coming on a retreat. I mean, boy, what a time for a great setup.
It really didn't want me to. No, it's been really active the past few weeks coming in. Yeah, but it was perfect. I mean, and so I had a choice there. Am I going to suffer through then that experience? And I decided that the retreat and the workshop started then.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, and that's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, that's so important for all of us. Because that really is the choice that we have, isn't it? You know, because stuff happens. And I like that word, innocent, because in a certain way, we are kind of innocent. We're doing the best we can, but we have these unconscious processes that happen that maybe we're not aware of, and that are able to take over and make decisions for us that aren't really our decisions. But that's okay. But, you know, with that choice comes, you know, am I going to suffer or am I not? You know, am I going to continue to go with that program that is designed basically to ruin our lives, which is what the suffering would be? Or am I going to make a different choice? You know, and there's the opportunity, obviously, what you're taking is to do practice with this.
Right. Yeah. And it's quite fascinating because, and then I'll look at the moment when that kind of, that choice is about to be made, there's really not, you know, I guess it's being taken over, but that's really not a full, I don't see the possibility of the consequence.
Right, yeah.
It's like completely, it feels like a completely different life experience, you know, the having the before and the after, you know.
Very much.
And then all of a sudden the consequence dawns.
Are there, yeah. Well, and I bet you, tell me if I'm right about this, you know, I mean, that started way before. I mean, that might even have started weeks before, where, you know, it's working at you, you know, because it, I mean, you've been involved with practice, you have a sense of what this is all about. It's still a sort of service conditioning, and it's threatened by it, and so it's back there behind the scenes. You know, it's probably, you know, just, if it was to come out and just hit you with something really big, you probably wouldn't buy that, because, you know, you've been paying attention, you've been doing practice, so it has to start with little things here and there, and just over time, just kind of work you up into a place where it can set you up and then just pull the rug out from underneath you.
Yeah. So that's good.
Uh-huh. So how do you see to practice with that going forward?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. Well, I think it's a good start to be curious about what happens in those choice points, and
there,
to see,
for sure.
Yeah,
because you're not supposed to be. You're supposed to just feel bad about yourself.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Right.
The after consequence. Mm.
Yeah. So I mean, that's just so perfect. You know, with this thing that we talked about as conditioning or conditioned mind. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's trying to sabotage all the time, and so it'll talk us into doing some kind of sabotage, and then you know, there's an opportunity there to wake up to what it's doing, that it has to cover over. And the way it covers that over is with the feeling that and the self-hate. You know, so as long as it gets you to do it and then immediately blames you for what happened, and then if it can get you to do that, then all the attention is focused on, you know, what you did wrong and the beating and everything, and you don't catch on, you don't see what it's been doing.
Absolutely. And that being probably the whole point, is getting me on that track.
Definitely.
And away from just doing whatever the moment is asking me
exactly,
to do.
Yeah. And that curiosity starts to open that door again, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Say, that's fascinating. Wow, that's wild that happened. What was going on there?
Right.
You know, what was the conversation? You know, what was I believing that that kind of led me down that road? You know, how did I get maneuvered into a place where conditioning made that decision for me?
Right. Right, where I somehow gave it over to it.
Yeah, And I love that, because it feels like that just takes it all back. You know, that gives it back all back to the human. You know, because instead of this being something to feel bad about and regret, this is something to be grateful for. Because, you know, it's probably doing this in all kinds of other ways in your life, and this is, you have a great big opportunity, especially since it happened on its way here, to really see it for what it is and see what it does.
Right. Yeah, and to appreciate what the consequences might be in a non-self-hating way.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as I'm doing that, I'm not seeing that, you know, I've caused harm or whatever that is. But in a non-personal, more, being able to see it, because otherwise conditioning is just covering it, is going to do something so that I don't see that, and I will continue to perpetuate the
thing. Definitely, yeah, definitely. One little tip that you probably noticed too, but this is a great place that the recording listening in can help, because,
yeah,
you know, I've had lots of experience in this too, and whenever something like that happens, I put it on the recorder, and then there'll be another circumstance, like, wait a second, that's like that time with, and it helps me to kind of keep like those consequences in my awareness. Otherwise, conditioning is just so good at covering it over and taking all that away. Thank you. Yeah, Joseph.
Thank you. Kind of tying in with that, I guess, suffering is a choice, I guess, kind of came to me really over the last 24 hours,
uh-huh,
and it sort of manifested in a couple of things. I'm from a northern climate.
Okay.
So the heat is oppressive, so my body is going, well, what the heck?
Uh-huh.
But as I went to my hermitage last night, and even before the heat, there was a spider on my pillow, and I hate spiders, but I got the little critter out and set it free. And
welcome to the monastery.
So, you know, I'm kind of there, and it's hot, and then I lay on my mattress, and my back's sweating, and I'm just kind of like, oh my gosh, this is just oppressive. But, you know, eventually you kind of go to sleep. And then as I was sitting here meditating and the hot air started blowing through the window, I just kind of embraced it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, I just somehow, I didn't give it what I was giving it before. I'm in the sweat.
Yeah, so last night, I mean, we could say it's a fact that it was hot.
Yeah.
It's a fact that you're sweating, the spider was there. But there was some extra getting added to that. There was a conversation about?
Well, yeah, there was kind of a conversation all day with, oh, I should have brought this type of shirt, or oh, I should have brought these pants, or oh, I should have
mm-hmm.
brought a different pair of shoes. Or I had just a million little things going on, and
mm-hmm.
today I've just kind of letting go of that. Now it's not 103 yet, and I'm not sweating really bad, but I feel like perhaps, I'm curious to see what the afternoon brings for me, so I can get more into the experience, you know, the whole loving myself. Where is all that stuff coming from? I should have.
Yep.
And I've tried not to use should in my life lately with other people,
mm-hmm.
and especially with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a lot of shoulds yesterday, but I think I had so much external distraction that,
mm-hmm.
okay, so I can move on with that. So I'm going to drop that today,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of get to the core.
Yeah, that's excellent, isn't it? Yeah, the suffering really is a choice. And it's even, so you're seeing that suffering is a choice, and you're also, it seems like, seeing how the choice is made. Like in that conversation, right? You know, because it's like the suffering it's not just like it's coming out of nowhere, it's being produced in a really particular way. And of course, that's, you know, the focus of this retreat, is how does that happen? And what other choices do we have? And so you're seeing, you actually got to see how it was doing it to you yesterday. Because of that, it seems like, you know, when the breeze, the hot air started coming in through the window, because you were aware of how it's doing that, there was another choice available to you. And you say, no, you know, I'm just going to let that go. I'm not going to suffer over that.
Correct. Yes. And it was sort of like this other person, you know, the separate self,
uh-huh.
talking to me a lot yesterday.
Definitely.
And you know what, there is no separate self, so bye-bye, be gone, I'm sweating, you don't like it, go away.
So, there you go, that's awesome. Great, thank you. Okay.
I noticed pretty much from the time I got here.
You guys hear okay back there? Yeah? Hippie? Okay.
I noticed from the time I got here yesterday to even to now, a lot of, like, for example, at dinner, we were shown how to serve dinner and enter the kitchen and whatnot. And from that moment, as I'm sitting there, I'm wondering, okay, did I do this right? Am I disturbing anybody?
Anybody else?
am I doing this the right way? Mm-hmm. And even in the meditation just now, I noticed that I really, towards the end, I got really uncomfortable. And I tried to not move. Mm-hmm. And then I got to that point that Sherry mentioned where the voices just said, okay. So I gave it one extra second, and then I mindfully shifted my position. That's but it. Even then, I'm worrying about disturbing my classmates.
Even though you technically did it right, you follow the guidance.
Right, but mm-hmm. those voices, and it's like, oh, you know, you couldn't even make it to the end of the session, and you had to move. Just noticing just a lot of judgment. And then as I'm sitting here telling you, I'm judging myself for judging myself. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
mm-hmm. yeah. It's a lot to see, isn't it? So where do you go seeing that?
I don't know, I'm just trying to pay attention. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If you were to say, where you're speaking from now, how would you talk about that, the place you're speaking from?
The part of you that wants to give myself a break.
Yeah. The part of you that wants to give yourself a break. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who maybe can see that you're actually doing the best you can. Yeah. And do you see also that those voices are lying to you?
I'm not quite there yet. Mm-hmm. I don't see.
It seems like it's true and real what they're saying. At least to some degree, not so much. I mean, just for you to be able to talk about it in the way that you are says that you don't completely believe it.
Yes.
Right? Because you're able to describe that it, how it's doing it to you. If you just completely believe it, you would just be the wrong person. And that would be the end of the story.
Well, there's a part of me that's saying how ridiculous it all is. Uh-huh.
Ridiculous. This, say more.
That maybe takes the other view that, you know, probably judging me too, like, why are you listening to all this, and why are you so hard on yourself?
I see.
It's like another judgment.
It's wicked, isn't it? So you see the first layer, you know, you see what the voices are doing to you, and then once you see that, condition just kind of takes the next step back and judges you for what you see.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a sense, it sounds like, that you want a break. There's something in you that wants to give you a break. To not have, that you don't have to be subject to that kind of self-hate anymore.
I would love to just be happy with myself. And
just stop.
Just stop.
And I can't tell, do you see that those voices that are talking to you are not you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's basic.
It's either somebody else, it might sound like a parent sometimes. Mm-hmm. It may be my own, sometimes it feels like it's mine.
Uh-huh.
But there's a part of me that says it's not, that kind of sees that it's not, but it feels a lot like it's
it. It feels a lot like it, yeah. Yeah. Plus, you have a lot of practice believing it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Because, you know, this I'm sure this started happening when you were a little kid. And, you know, it's just, there's a lot of, you've had a lot of time and practice believing those voices, thinking they're true. You know, we're all conditioned to think that. You know, it was just a fundamental part of how we were socialized. And so it takes a lot to create a distance so we can really see what's going on. And it seems to me like, you know, I mean, the step that you've made already is huge. From, tell me if I'm right, from, you know, the voices are talking to you, you're just believing it. You know, oh, I'm not doing it right, I'm not, you know, whatever, those are bad, I'm not a good enough person, or I'm not the right person, or, you know, I should be punished, and, you know, all these kind of things that happen. Going from that to, wait a second, there's something that's not me that's talking to me, and it hates me. It's judging me all the time, it's criticizing me,
yeah.
But that's not actually me. That's a huge step in the direction that it sounds like you want to go. Is there something else? I think I... Good, thank you. Terry.
I also found that I can... I sense...
You have to speak for the back of the room.
I perceive that the voices as not being me, but that doesn't seem to make them much less authoritative.
No.
Because it's like they're objective judges, you know, impartial.
And so also, they like their authority.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not interested in losing their authority.
So what I tend to find, just here and throughout the various practices I've attempted, is that to merely observe doesn't seem to take me very far, but to talk about compassionate awareness,
uh-huh.
to focus particularly on the compassion, be a bit active, not just compassionately receiving, somehow trying to, I don't know, tap into or awaken mm-hmm. or project mm-hmm. compassion, that's something that can sometimes bring about a subtle change of direction.
Yeah, that's my experience too, if I understand what you're saying. See if this is what you mean. That noticing is great. And there's another step, there's another possibility so like, let's say that, you know, like you're being judged for something. Would that be a common kind of thing? You know, getting beat up for something? So you can notice that's happening. And you know, most people, you know, without practice, that's not available. You know, just most people are walking around, I think, just in this conversation that's real, kind of like we were just talking about. There's a conversation that's real, and a part of the conversation is, I did that wrong, and I shouldn't have done that, and, you know, these kind of things. And so there's that, but then there's another step where, you know, it's kind of like giving ourselves a break, we just talked about. It's like there's a place where we can embrace in compassion that, you know, authentic person who is in relationship with those voices, and create a space where perhaps it's not, it can be recognized that that's not actually true. That, you know, maybe we are okay the way that we are, you know, things like that.
Giving a break is sort of saying don't do the beating up or don't believe. I find that just very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to bring in something that has a little positive pushback, you know, that says that's just the opposite of self-hate, some kind of compassion, and, you know, not just compassion accepting, but somehow, you know, warming the heart somehow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, we're gonna be looking at this a lot during the retreat. You know, one thing, so there's a difference between, say, you know, self-hate says you're bad. And I try to come back with that, say, I'm good, no, I'm good. So that doesn't really work, because that's kind of, as you know, that's kind of in the same realm. It's just the other side of the program that it's kind of pushing. But if it says, you're bad, and I say, there's no such thing as bad. How could I possibly be bad? What does that have to do with me? That's just conditioning. That's just my programming. Now, how about if I look to my own experience to see what's really so for me? And how about if I offer to myself what's really true? You know, how much I'm loved, how much I'm cared for, you know, what I really want in my life, instead of having any relationship at all with that conversation. So I'm thinking you're talking about the second thing.
Yeah, and I would just say, though, Stephen, there, you're absolutely right to say, to push back with I'm good against I'm bad, it's hopeless. You're buying into the whole legitimacy of the charges, and
yeah.
You can't win.
Exactly.
But somehow, just to sort of try to tap into, I guess I would just call it love.
Love.
Mm-hmm. Not making a statement, I am good or I am loved, but just actually bring up, not so much just loving, because I find if I feel that I'm loving toward others or anything else, then I immediately feel more that lovable self.
Yeah, that's good. So just a different way of saying exactly what you're saying. So we could be doing a process of self-hate or self-judgment, and what we get from that process is feeling judged or hated. Or we could be doing a process of love and self-loving, and what we get from that is feeling loved. And I think that's what you're talking about. You can see that there's a choice there. And you can also see that you have the power to choose whichever one of those processes that you want. You know, we might say, I don't know if this seems like so to you, but that love is kind of natural. You know, it's that starts to get pretty close to, who you are. It's that unconditional love. So a lot of times it's just sort of getting out of the way. I'm not listening to that conversation with self-hate. I'm just not. And then turning attention to that love and doing that process of loving, and then suddenly just the whole dynamic changes, and we feel love instead of hate. And it's something that we can just choose within our own mind and heart. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Who's that, Vicky?
So last night, the first night in the hermitage was a really interesting experience. I found myself getting little moments of fear and anxiety, just being out. It's been a while being out in the forest here and all that, the wilderness. Mm-hmm. So just the noises, and I read the book about noises that go here and chips for encounter bears and wildcats. So of course, my head's going, you're out there in the middle of the night, it's quiet.
There's a lot for condition to work with.
Absolutely, and I've seen that. And I'm, trying to go to sleep, and your brain just starts, or my mind, I just start to hear these noises, and it just creates. I just start feeling numb, and I can feel my heart beating like faster. And already planning the next morning to ask if there's any room in the dormitory, because I don't know if I can do it again.
Uh-huh.
So it was really interesting to just sit with it, and I realized why I'm here is to just experience that discomfort. So,
you're here to experience that discomfort.
Yeah, so that was interesting. So I just tried to sit with it, and I think I was so tired that I finally just told myself, well, you really know you're supposed to make a lot of noise if there's a bear or an outline, and I was like, just remember that, and I just pumped out. What was really interesting is with that discomfort, I remember waking up in the middle of the night, and I looked up, and I don't see many stars where I'm at, and it was just amazing. So that was kind of neat to embrace that as well.
Uh-huh.
So that was kind of like, okay, interesting. So that was
fun. Uh-huh. Oh, that's so great. Yeah, because again, that's the choice people are talking about. So you chose not to be involved in that conversation, and you were watching it too, right? You were watching conditioning talk to you, and you chose to stay with it, to stay with that discomfort. And I love what you said, but that's what you came here to do. Yeah, I bet we could all say that in a way. We came here to get support to face the things that we have trouble facing on our own. Without an environment that really makes it hard to run away from them. Was there more? Maybe.
So I had an experience while we were doing this guided meditation or reading that thing. I'm like really, I find mindfulness and self-compassion and things like that have been really important to me, and that's kind of why I'm here, is to really kind of get more into it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the aspect of calling this a religion that is it creates a wall.
Oh, you said it creates a wall?
A wall for me.
A wall,
yeah.
Okay.
A little bit. And it's just something that I'm noticing as we were doing this, that I caught a voice coming in and kind of cringing a little bit anytime there's like, it's like an indoctrination, or I'm feeling that way. And it's interesting because I'm really, like I said, find this work to be really important. And it's the aspect of religion specifically that, you know, it's, I have certain ideas about religion.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what I project religion to be.
Yeah. So you say that you have a certain set of ideas.
Okay.
Where do you feel like those come from?
Well, lots of different places. Growing up and just certain experiences and my father, certain, you know, lots of conversations and some of my own, you know, digging. It's interesting because when I can really, if I'm talking to other people about their beliefs or things like that, I can really be present with them and, you know, and not judging, you know. I really truly do believe people are, there's a multitude of beliefs out there, and I certainly have my own, so there is no right or wrong there. It's just, I guess the word religion brings with it some negative connotations for me.
Uh-huh.
Not spirituality is totally different. I could totally be on board with that. It's just the word religion. There's something.
So let me ask you this. You know, we're very early in the retreat. So when we talk about conditioning, do you have a sense of what we're talking about?
Sure.
Yeah, this thing that's in the mind that is not who we really are, that is, you know, kind of determining how we look at things and how we feel and makes choices for us and that kind of thing? Okay. So if you look at the things that get sort of piled on that word religion, what you said was that I can't remember exactly what you said, but opinions or negative associations or these kind of things with it. Would you say those are actually your opinions and associations? Or would you say that those belong to conditioning?
I certainly see how it could belong to conditioning. I think some of it is. I think some of it is my own explorations.
Yeah.
I think the more compassionate place about it is mine. I would like to own that. Anytime there's a judgment or, you know, something where I'm trying to push it away, I think that's conditioning.
Yeah. So you've got, it sounds like that's maybe some difficult experiences with religion. And or have had just different kinds of information come in.
Right.
And you're in a process of exploration of that. And that seems good and healthy, doesn't it? You know, you're just kind of looking for about what that's all about. And then, tell me if I'm right, on top of that gets put a conversation with conditioning that starts to turn it into something else. It starts to, it's sounding to me like it's trying to take away from you what you really find valuable.
Yes.
Am I right?
That's what was happening as we were reading this. I was kind of chuckling at myself because I do, you know, am really committed to wanting to be here, and there's that conditioning is pointing out that one specific thing to try to get me off track.
To try to get you off track.
To get me away from it. You know,
exactly. It's almost like there's two of you, mm-hmm. right? There's something that you know, we might say is authentic. You know, that's what I'm projecting. And you probably know when I say that, I'm just saying I'm putting my experience onto you. I don't know what actually is going on for you. But I'm projecting that's something authentic. You know, that process of curiosity and exploration, you're just trying to see for you what's going on. But then there's something that's not you, which has an agenda. Mm-hmm. And the agenda is to take away from you what you love, what you care about, what's going to help you, and what you really want for yourself. And that's what you're seeing. You're seeing the difference between those places and seeing what it is that's actually here and what it is that conditioning is bringing here that doesn't need to be here and that is just trying to interfere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Or it is.
What's that?
good or bad, it is.
It is, yeah. And it's nice, too, because, you know, you probably can sense this if you're not aware of it already. One nice thing about this environment is that nothing is required in terms of believing anything. You know, we're all required to follow the guidelines that are here because we need to all be following the same guidelines in order to be able to function together. And also, you know, just to create the environment where the transformation can happen that we're all here to experience. But we don't have to believe anything. And it's nice because it creates a space for us all to just do that kind of exploring that you're talking about, where we get to find out for ourselves what's settled. We don't have to take anything that anybody said, even the Buddha, and just believe it without having our own experience. We get to look to ourselves and have our own experience of it. So there's lots of room for that exploration, in other words, at some point. Rebecca.
Well, a couple of things that have been said today are triggering what I want to look at. And one is that how we get set up, that it actually starts kind of weeks ago, and then we get set up. And the second thing is that we came here to feel this discomfort, where it's really kind of hard to get away from that. So something, you know, I saw it or it dropped in or something that it just hit me that this one little process is how I have been doing this my whole life. You know, how that.
What do you mean this one little process?
Like I saw in the subconscious that had happened recently.
You saw you were doing a little process. But it's actually not just this little process, it's how you've done your entire life.
Yeah. And it's very uncomfortable, this little process. And so it's like, okay, so how was I set up? How did I get set up for this? Because it's, what's that word? Ubiquitous, you know.
Before you go on, just to underline, you know, that how, that's the key, isn't it?
Yeah.
How did that happen? It's not why. You know, we're not trying to like figure out, you know, what's wrong with me that explains how this happens. Is how did this happen? How what process happened in my mind that produced this result?
Yeah, that is really key, because what, as you say that, what I'm seeing is that the why, or even that, just looking at this happened again, and if I went into why, conditioning would take that, well, I'm out of here. There's just no other option, because this isn't working.
Yeah, there's really no point in being here.
Yeah.
Without the how.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just uncomfortable.
Oh, to say the least. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, it's uncomfortable for conditioning.
Right.
For us.
But right.
We believe that we are conditioning, and so it's uncomfortable for me.
Yes.
If we're applying that, we talk about a lot of times, like the spirit of inquiry, or people were talking about it earlier, is that curiosity. If what we're doing is we're applying that curiosity, the how, the spirit of inquiry to what's happening, then everything is useful. Everything enlightens us. And it's really pretty exciting to be here, to be doing this. But if we're not doing that, it's really hard. And it doesn't seem like there's any point, and we might as well just go.
Yeah, and in my experience, we only need this much of the spirit of inquiry. You know, we don't need a lot. We just need a little crack, a little opening to where the belief that this is me, that this is just how I am, and there's no space in that, so that doesn't get to kind of carry the day.
Yeah, because you're supposed to conclude that, I suppose.
Yeah.
So you get set up, you know, I mean, we can see from the outside of it, conditioning's working at you, it sees something good coming, here's a great opportunity, like we talked about earlier, you know, here's a great opportunity to throw, you know, a big monkey wrench in things and cause a lot of feeling bad. And so, you know, it's prepping, you know, it's putting this little piece here and this little piece here, and then we get to the big moment, and it pulls the trigger, and what was supposed to happen is, well, that was my fault, you know, this is how I am, that's kind of what you were saying, this is just how I am, there's basically something wrong with me, that's why this is happening, So, you know, if that's all that's available, what choice do I have? But just to try to get away from the bad feelings?
Yeah.
You know, that's what we do. You know, we run, or we, you know, we eat, or we drink, or we...
Try harder. That's the setup that I've been seeing. It's because there's no running or drinking around here, you know. But there is a lot of I can be trying harder, uh-huh. You know. And that's the I really feel like that's the big linchpin in the setup. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's what you're bringing to it that's not supposed to be a part of the program. The inquiry, the how.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Well, but the inquiry is not the same as the trying.
No. Okay, sorry, I get you.
Yeah.
The trying is just more a part of the system.
Right, it's more like
It's right. A way to keep perpetuating, because in the trying, the you know, so if we could say, see if this works, that, you know, there's always a payoff for these kind of things. And maybe the payoff is you feel like there's something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. Or you're not a good enough person, or something like that. Mm-hmm. The trying perpetuates that belief. If you continue to believe it in the trying, mm-hmm. Well, I'll just try harder, and then maybe I'll get to a place where I'm not this bad person anymore. So yeah. it's all within the same sphere.
Yeah.
But that spirit of inquiry is outside of that sphere. It doesn't believe that there's such a thing as like being a good person or being a bad person. It's just saying, huh, there's just an interesting process going on here, and all of this stuff is a part of it.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Yes, exactly. And there's a little example like that happened years ago that's coming up that if I can just, so I was driving somewhere and I saw a police officer on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of on the edge of a little town, you know what that means. It's a speed trap, right, or something. Uh-huh. But the information I got was, there had been just a law passed where you're supposed to get over a lane and not pass right beside them. That was just a new law in my state. And so I got the information from my head that that's what I should do. Uh-huh. And so I didn't slow down, but I did move over. But I still got stopped. And I said, well, but I had, you know, that I had, because I was following
the rules.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And the guy gave me a ticket anyway for speeding. And even though I'd gotten over, you know, he didn't care. He wasn't impressed. So the interesting thing is the rage, the frustration afterwards.
Because you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, it caught my attention in a big way. And I think that's the payoff that you're talking about. Uh-huh. That frustration is the, you know. And so then that kicks in the trying harder. Mm-hmm. Okay, well then I gotta, however you try harder to follow all the rules, not just the ones that are new, you know. Yeah. And so that, I think that's this part that I'm seeing today as we're talking, the setup.
Yeah, that really illustrates the setup well. Mm-hmm. Because, so you're going along and it sounds like what happened was, so you see the cop and there's the, there's a conversation that starts about what that means and what you need to do.
Yep.
And it's just so clever in a way. You really have to kind of admire how clever it is, because it gave you the right way to do it.
Yeah.
So you can just feel good.
And I was
just
really willing to look at it. I wanted the right way, right?
Yeah, you're doing the right way. You got nothing to worry about while you speed past the cops.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know? So it just puts this big blinder in front of the real obvious information.
Exactly.
And gets you, but it gives you something. It has to give you something that you'll go with,
uh-huh.
Or else you're not gonna, you know, you're not gonna go unconscious like that.
Yes.
So without that conversation, you know, the alternative, of course, is you're driving along and there's the cop, and then there's an openness. There's not a conversation. There's an openness, and what drops in is the information that you need.
Yeah.
And we talk about it as life providing the information. Okay, oh, wow, I'm going 85. I think I'll take my foot off the gas. Plus the new law.
Yeah.
You know, but everything you need, instead of just one slice of it, that's got this loaded with this agenda, that's basically going to take you to the same old place of that rage and frustration that you're trying to get to,
yes.
Or the condition you're trying to get to.
Yeah, that's so helpful, because that is exactly the setup.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's always like that, isn't it? It's like this little diversionary tactic. Because if we could be here, either the information would be there, or stuff happens, you know, there's just life situations happening, and we don't feel bad. But, oh, that was fascinating. I can't believe that happened. That was amazing.
Yeah.
But if, with that little diversion, you know, the attention goes over here instead of here, and then it's like all of us, it feels like all of us is pulled into this whole other world where things like, it is possible to do the right thing or the wrong thing, or to be good or be bad. It's possible to be punished.
Yeah.
You know, all of that happens over there. And once we get in that world, it's hard to get out of, because it's you know, we're in a conversation about it and everything in it seems real.
Yeah, but just one last point, because on a meta level, clearly I have been having that spirit of inquiry with this experience that happened 10 years ago, probably, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, huh, that's interesting. Look at that, the rage and the frustration that triggered it. So it's like, ultimately, ego can't win. Even all those past things can be the fodder for us to wake up.
Yeah.
As long as we have that little space of inquiry, of curiosity, or willingness, or whatever.
Yeah, if we're paying attention, you know, as the old saying goes, if we pay attention, everything enlightens us.
Yeah.
If we're paying attention, really, it, like you say, we can only win.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that because, you know, conditioning, if it were smart, it wouldn't do what it does. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always pushing for that, for the short-term result, mm-hmm. you know, that short-term feeling bad. But when we, you know, when that happens and we see what's going on and we let go, ah, you know, I got you. And suddenly, you know, we really get what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. It's exciting, it's interesting, it's fun. You know, it's like playing this great big game in a way.
Yeah.
Diane.
So I've been noticing I've been so happy to come here and then noticing how being, even though it's a place I have wanted to come to, because it's a new place, it's an unfamiliar place, it's such the conditioning loves this. I mean,
it won't for long.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's good. So I was noticing last night when we were doing the talking to one another, taking turns about what brought us here. The conditioning, I noticed in the process that conditioning wanted me to stay. To continue to say that I was very happy and grateful.
Okay, sorry, getting signals from the back. Need a little more volume.
Okay, so conditioning wanted me to continue to state that I was happy and grateful to be here.
Uh-huh.
And then I started noticing that there was another experience that was there that was not okay to have. That was more an experience of fear, maybe a younger part, mm-hmm. That was a little nervous and afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the rules, you know, I mean, not the rules, I don't know,
guidelines.
The guidelines is such a bad word.
Now, conditioning, you know, is going to look at them as rules.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we use that word, try to short circuit that word.
So, when I was walking this morning, I was noticing that this is a great opportunity to work with this, because it's happening every second. You know, am I supposed to walk here? Is it okay to do this, not do that, and it's constant. So the kind of guidance that came from the mental was, well, just hold your breath when the push happens. You know, when the push from conditioning happens, just don't do it right away. Take
just
a breath.
Wait and see. Mm-hmm.
And that could just be the practice. You know, just to do that doesn't mean you're not going to do what the guidelines are asking for,
mm-hmm.
but that there's going to be a little more space, because that's what I'm noticing. There's no space with conditioning.
Not at all.
So even in not okay, you know, I should talk. No, you shouldn't talk. Don't talk. I mean, it's ongoing as I'm sitting here, that I was noticing was keeping me from hearing what other people were saying. So it's a very, it happens everywhere. I mean, it takes anything, really.
And it's this is tough for conditioning, you know, because you know it's I think for most people when they come, it takes a little while to catch on that something's different about this place. So it just is doing the same thing it always does. I mean, is that kind of your sense? You know, this is going on all the time in your life out there too, right? You know, where it's talking about stuff and it's trying to figure out what the right way to do it is and all these kind of things. And it's still doing it, but suddenly you've been kind of catapulted from this world, a world of distraction, where it's kind of, you know, covered over a lot by all the noise and the activity and everything that's going on out there, to an environment of paying attention and quiet. And you're seeing a ton, obviously. You're able to really watch what it's doing, but it hasn't really kind of caught on yet. And so it's just kind of doing the same thing it's always doing. And that's really helpful, you know, because you can just see how it does what it does.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm projecting you're having fun with it too.
Yeah, I mean, mostly yes. And especially when you were just describing it, the way you're describing it, it seems like a crazy little army of people trying to, you know, going all around, and that they're, I can't quite take them as seriously.
That's right. Yeah. I love what you said too about the space, because that really is what it's trying to do. And it's trying to take up all the space, right? Yes. So their attention is not available for anything else.
Right.
And there's a lot of space possible here, and you're obviously having the experience of that, because you know, you've kind of, seems like you've backed up a level where you're not inside it just listening to it, you're backed up. It's kind of like it's talking over there and you're watching it.
Yes.
So even though it's trying to take up all the space, it isn't. There's attention and awareness that's available to just kind of watch it do what it's doing. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey.
One of the elements that I've been looking at in that process of being set up is an idea of where I'm going.
An idea of where you're going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That comes from conditions.
Uh-huh.
That sort of sets a context of it's not exactly explicit. I suppose it is the right thing to do, but it's also just the reality. This is what's going to happen.
And is reality in quotes?
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. And actually, it's always in quotes. Never turns out the way that
it's always in quotes.
Demands. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then the whole thing hinges on arriving at a place where there's information that what is going to happen in quotes is not going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And then there's, that is what assists the taking of person.
I see. Okay, so let me see if I'm with you. So without the idea about how it's the reality and how it's supposed to go, if you were to get to that place where the information happens, well, it's not going there, it's going there, it wouldn't really be a problem because you weren't invested in it going there in any way. But the setup is you are. It's talking to you, it's decided this is the way it needs to go, especially if it's kind of loaded with that, you know, it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it really believable. It makes it kind of urgent too. You know, it's really important that we get there because that's the right place to be. And then when you find out that it's not going there, that's a really big problem.
Yeah, there's a tension created.
There's a tension created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's the opening to take it personally.
Then there's the opening to take it personally.
My fault. And that if I had done something, if I had known something, if I had I could go back in time, whatever it is. But without that idea of knowing where I'm going, well, that whole thing doesn't happen.
It's not a problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how could you talk about that alternative?
Well, staying open to information is part of it.
Staying open to information is a part of it. Moment by moment, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I have found, especially lately, it's not just not listening to the voices, which is sort of framing it in the negative.
Mm-hmm.
There is this need for a focus something positive, somewhere to go.
That's interesting.
And that is toward whatever it is I'm choosing at the moment, compassion or being open to life or that.
Yeah. So it's necessary. It's necessary to not be listening to the voices, but kind of like we were talking about earlier, that's not the end of the story.
Right.
You know. So I mean, if we're listening to the voices, there isn't anything else available. I mean, if we're listening to them and believing them. If we're aware of the voices, but like you say, that we can have this other focus where we can just focus like on that, on being open. And then the light, the information is dropping in moment by moment as we're going along. Or there isn't really that taking it personally. Because, you know, kind of in this interesting way, there's no person there in that openness to take it personally. Mm-hmm. The person is over in the conversation with conditioning. Yeah,
and it's not like deciding not to listen to the voices means they automatically shut off.
No.
But it's that this other focus makes all of that less relevant, mm-hmm. less active, less mm-hmm. appealing.
Mm-hmm. It kind of goes off into the distance a little bit.
Yeah.
Is that your experience?
Yeah.
It's never going to shut up. But it just kind of goes over. We stop paying attention to it.
It's in perspective.
It puts it in perspective. Yeah. Well, it puts it in a context too, doesn't it? A context where you're in touch with something other than it. You're in touch with, you know, the word we use around here a lot is life, kind of with a capital L. You're in touch with life. You're in touch with the moment. You know, with what's actually unfolding in this moment. And so, within that context, this is kind of ridiculous. It's irrelevant. It doesn't have anything to do with what's going on, especially when we look at it and really see how destructive it is, how hateful. It's setting us up all the time for sabotage and feeling bad. You know, the motivation to be involved with that becomes less and less and less. The more our attention is on the alternative that's just here in the moment.
Yeah, it does feel like testing waters sometimes.
Testing waters.
Mm-hmm. Going with that other focus and finding out that it is absolutely okay. Uh-huh. Not only okay, it's wonderful.
Yeah, so the voices might be talking to you, say, you've got to go with me, basically.
Exactly.
You know, we're going over there. That's the right place to go. You've got to go there. I know how to get you there. Come on, let's go.
And now this thing has happened that creates that tension, this roadblock. That you've got to figure out. You've got to, et cetera, et cetera.
And now you're taking it personally. Now you really got to push to get over to this other peak, because now we're not going there. But then there's this kind of testing the water. Well, what if I didn't do that? What if I didn't listen to that? What if I just stay open and let life guide me to see what happens? And then we start to have experiences where, wow, it's completely okay. Or, wow, this is way better than where conditioning was trying to take me, or like that.
Yeah, it can go real tiny and real subtle, that shift of focus, but it's also very glorious.
Very what?
Glorious.
Glorious, yeah.
To have another option.
Yeah, when it completely changes our experience, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we really can't choose the life that we want. You know, we really can't. But it takes that kind of paying attention and that kind of understanding of how process works, so we can make that choice for what we're really looking for and what really takes care of us. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Got a couple more minutes. Rick.
This is a challenging environment for me. Mm-hmm. I have a set of beliefs that I'm dumb and spacey and forgetful, and another set of beliefs that says do not make any mistakes.
Well, those are two beliefs that don't go together so well.
So it feels like there's a whole minefield here.
I bet you other people experience it that way. It's like, oh my gosh, all these guidelines. And there's so many ways to make a mistake.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I had a moment yesterday, because when I unpacked, I later found out I was wrong, but I thought I had not packed my recorder. Now, I had tossed in a backup recorder that's an old tape one, but it wasn't my new digital recorder. And so... yesterday afternoon, I was just beating myself up for having forgot that.
You were getting beat up. Just to, it's good to clarify the language. It's not you that's doing the beating. It's, we'll talk about this more in the retreat too, and you're probably aware of it. It's self-hate that's beating you up.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that beat up, I noticed, was distracting me from paying more attention.
Uh-huh. That's good. For what agenda? What's it trying to go for?
You know, it only occurred to me today that I might be getting tripped, being deliberately tripped up.
Uh-huh.
But at the time, it just felt like, you need to shape up.
Yeah, and of course,
and I'm going to do it. I'm going to help you shape you up.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to help you stay on task. Mm-hmm.
And of course, what's really going on there, I would presume, is your attention's being distracted.
Right.
So your attention is going to it, and to, you know, because you're, there's probably, you know, gets you to be afraid of it, afraid of the beating that's going to happen, afraid of making mistakes. And then you can't be here to actually see whether or not it's time to change your shoes or it's time to wash your hands or something.
Right.
So it's like a perfect system because it's got, it's talking to you about how you're going to mess up, and that's distracting you, so you'll mess up, and then it can beat you up some more, and then your reliance will have to be even more on it so you don't mess up anymore, and it just completely perpetuates that dynamic and creates over and over and over again those beliefs that you're dumb and spacing and those kind of things.
Right. Yeah.
That's great. It's great to see that process, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And it only occurred to me in this discussion that I'm, because I did find the new recorder today. It was tucked away in some place that wasn't so easily accessible, and I forgot that I put it there.
Yeah. But now, if it, don't forget where you're going, but I bet you know, if it could have kept you engaged with that conversation, it would have been days before you found that.
Right.
Because, oh, I didn't, you know, that's just the end of the story. I forgot my recorder.
Exactly.
Instead of, huh, I wonder what else it could be.
Exactly. Because that was what I was thinking yesterday is, I'm hopeless. It's home somewhere. I forgot it.
Uh-huh. And then imagine if you had never gotten out of that conversation. You go through the whole retreat. You get home. You're unpacking your suitcase. And there was the recorder. You know, you idiot. Look,
and would have had a new set of veto.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's so good to see. And I really appreciate how you're illustrating this for us because, you know, everybody does this. You know, not everybody tells the same story or gets told the same story about what it is that's wrong with them. And not everybody is dumb and spacey. But everybody's got whatever it is that they've got going. And the process that you're describing for us, everybody does. Or it's being done to everybody. And it's just so helpful to have it out there in a room like that because we can all plug in the way that we do that, and we can all benefit. It's not just for you, but for all of us. And as we're talking together in these groups, we can, through each other's insights, we can see also into how it works for us, and we kind of help each other get more and more free. Okay, and thank you all.